Kate.
Hey, Gail, how you doing?
Oh, catching my breath.
What's up?
Oh, just a lot to do. Reverend Carey's coming today, and I had not reviewed the agenda for the board meeting when she sent it and realized there's a bunch of stuff to do with that. So, and my purse calendar is missing. So I'm sure it's buried somewhere on the desk. But that's kind of a lifeline of appointments that I may or may not have moved into the other calendars. So I'm sure it will turn up. Nothing is lost in consciousness, but
Yeah, how many calendars do you have that you try to work from?
well, I have this one. I have an Outlook calendar, and then I have the little purse calendar that I carry with me so that when I'm out and making appointments, I jot them down in there and then I take them home.
So your Outlook calendar is not available on your phone when you're out?
No, I have deliberately not put email on my phone. And
Okay.
I don't know, there used to be a way to ha link Outlook and Google, and that stopped at some point, and I'm not sure if it's back again, but if that is the case, it would be easy to put Google Calendar on that without doing anything else. Just one more thing I haven't.
Yeah, you know,
I really, the paper calendar is like, my brain likes it.
my brain does too. I still use I don't think they're called day timers anymore, but you know, I still use these things.
Planner things.
But I also have on my phone, I don't have I have stuff like Magic's grooming appointment because I can set appointments on the phone or reminders on the phone that the day before I'm reminded he's got one tomorrow. And then I'm reminded again when I get up, there's a reminder on here. You
Well, and Outlook does that. I said it has alarm, it has reminders that come up.
And does that come up on your, that only comes up on your computer, not on your phone? Okay.
But I don't usually keep my phone with me, so.
Yeah. Even on when you're, but when you're out, it's in your bag. Okay. Okay. Just the more you can consolidate, you know, there's just less things on your plate to try to keep updated.
Yeah.
If there's a way to consolidate, but ha you know, liking the paper, it's hard to get away from that. And if the internet's down, then you don't have access to the calendar. So it only makes sense to have it in paper form and electronic, if possible.
I think so.
Yeah. But three of them, bless your heart.
I have sat down several times to work on my desk, and it's been like in the too hard to do category, but I need to remember 15 minutes better, and I have done some of that. So yeah, a lot of lost stuff here. I think I told you I had done a card for Anna Griffin. So in November, we had the big meeting, and it used to go over about Veterans Day. And so she would send up a gift to all the veterans that were attending. And
Oh.
so I did a thank you card, and it got lost until April on my desk. And then it got lost again until May or June. I don't know. Anyway, I finally got it off, but that's the That's the thing about my desk and stuff getting lost on it. There's just too many piles. Excuse me. And if I had systems for everything, I have to remind myself, I have systems around the house that work extremely well. I don't have systems for my desks that are working really well.
And you have more than one desk.
I have my craft desk. I have this desk, and then there's a desk in the family room kitchen area that has never been usable. It's just got stuff piled on it. But it has a purpose if I could clear it off. But Michael would joke about the kitchen desk as long as we were married was always buried. It used to be my correspondence desk where I wrote letters, and I had stationery and stamps in it. Yeah, well, that was a while ago.
Yeah. So have you done anything for you lately?
I've been playing.
Okay.
I made the last few days, I finished off a kit of birthday cards. So let me flash a few up for you.
Okay. Oh, wow. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, nice butterfly.
This is probably more suited for a guy, but they. And
Wow.
this is definitely for a guy.
Oh, yeah. Wow, those are great.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, my gosh.
One more. I think these two are the same. Yeah, these, well, no, they're not.
Oh, that's pretty.
That card kit has been sitting there,
Ooh,
and
I like that. The purple. Is
the
that
church,
purple? It looks purple here. Is it
it is,
purple?
it's purple. The church needed more birthday cards, and I pulled this kit out and thought, let's just knock them out. And it's been really fun.
Oh, good. Good. Do you glue them? What kind of glue do you use?
Some of them are stickers, but
Okay.
there is, it's a white glue. There is a company called Art Glitter that makes amazing glitter, and they made a glue for it that has become it was designed to work with glitter, but paper crafters have taken it to their hearts, and so they sell more glue than they do the glitter now. But pretty much any white glue. The thing is, what you need, it's not so much the glue as the applicator. You need these little fine needle tip
Oh,
things
yeah.
to put just teeny little drops of glue where you need it. So this is the secret. I mean, there are a number of white glues that would work, but it's the applicator that makes all the difference.
Wow, that's gold. Just like the when I do the bracelets, I use a glue that has a needle that the glue comes through.
Right,
And
same idea.
yeah, exactly. And I wouldn't be able to do it without it because there'd be, even though I use a toothpick, then to try to really get it down in there if I get a little carried away, in which that happens sometimes. But otherwise, you know, you wouldn't be able to do what you needed to do. So that's really gold.
They're
Those,
wonderful and they're
yeah.
cheap. Amazon has them like 10 for $6 or something like that.
Oh my gosh, that is cheap. Wow. And do they last like forever?
They last for years. I wouldn't say they last forever.
But years, that counts. That's good. Like the glue I use for the bracelets, because it you put the another needle back in the hole, and it's all covered. It lasts really, really well. Well, I've been here 3 years and I just got a new one. And the other one's still good, but I was afraid that I would need one and wouldn't be able to use it. So I got another one.
The one thing about these are the way they come with a little stainless steel pin because the glue will dry inside sometimes. They get bent, and it has to be a stainless steel pin because they'll rust otherwise.
Oh, yeah.
So I bought a pack of silk sewing pins that are teeny tiny, because it's quite a small diameter. So I keep a couple of those there, and if you turn them. If you don't leave them open, they do pretty well, but you need to have that pin handy.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome.
It
I
is.
love that. Now, I wanted to ask you, do you still make the journals? Because you were making like journals when I first started. Well, the first time you and I talked about it, you showed us a journal that you had made.
I have pretty pretty much given that up as I've gone into cards. I still do a few little Christmas things, but I'm feeling the pull to make a few journals again.
Are you? Do you have one
Yeah.
handy you can show to me again?
There's a bunch downstairs, but I don't think I have any up here. Let's see. There might be a little one over here. Is there a little one over here? Well, this one was one of the first types I started to make. So this is that. It's made from 12 by 12 scrapbook paper, and it has th that's a little book with like a little notepad.
So that one's
There's a
kind of.
little journal in it, but it was an experiment. This was learning techniques. Like there's a little gusset in here to make it bigger. So I didn't, and this is a lot envelope with stuff in it. I just love this paper line.
So that's
But
kind of a kit.
no, it was like three pieces of scrapbook, 12 by 12 scrapbook paper.
But I mean, you made it into a kit.
Yeah. If
Okay.
there's another one over here. Pretty much the same thing. Yeah, that my big ones are downstairs.
Okay.
I will bring one upstairs next time.
Okay,
Now,
cool.
next week is our last session, right?
Yeah, it is. Man, where did the time go?
I don't know.
But
I do not know.
lot has happened. A lot has
Yes.
happened in that time. And I think that, well, how do you feel? Do you feel like you've made a lot of progress in being a, with your awareness and ability to manage anxiety?
I think I have. It's like I was with my counselor on Tuesday. I'm still surprised at how often I catch myself being clenched, but it was what I did 24/7 for years. So overcoming it is going to be a, it's going to take some time. But like right now, I'm relax. My belly's not clenched, and the softening my belly and breathing really makes a big difference. So,
I sent I did I give I sent to you the meditation of just of quieting the mind and grounding, right? That's like 4.5 minutes.
I think you did, and it's lost in my inbox. That's another problem is I've been unsubscribing, but the inbox is, well, and I'm more aware of it because I'm getting a new computer, so I really need to would like to thin it down a little bit. I will have to go check. I will make a
Okay.
note to go check.
Let me I'll make a note too to breathe and ground to be sure and put it on your page with all the recordings. If I haven't
Okay.
already, then that way it makes it easy to there it is, download it, you know, get it on your devices.
Okay.
And you know, once you've done it a couple of times, you know exactly what to do. But if you have the time and you can do it faster than 4.5 minutes, but if you know, if you have the time to listen to the music, then that helps to really move you into that space of awareness, of raising your vibration, being able to tell whether, wait a minute, I'm not feeling this. So there's something that's weighing on me, you know, and being able to consciously choose to be that other vibration. So it just makes it. It's just a really good tool.
I may have actually downloaded it and listened to it once because it has the same handpan music, doesn't it?
It
Or
does.
maybe I did.
It does. I've been trying to use the same music so that, you know,
Yeah.
you get that used to hearing the music. I mean, like, I don't know what's going on with him on Wednesdays, but I finally turned the light out at 12:30 last night. Oh, I was not, that was not the plan, but and then I'm still going, I'm laying there thinking, how am I going to go to sleep? And I'm playing the music. He gets up, decides he needs to go outside. It's raining. And I ended up giving him a Tums. We probably went out a dozen times between 12:30 and 3 o'clock. And he never He never tried to throw up. I just got up with him and we played. He had a snack, but I ended up giving him Tums twice because every few minutes he's at the door wanting to go out, and he goes out and he tries to pee. And at first he was peeing because I could hear it, even though it was raining, but then it was raining more. So then I couldn't hear it. And it's like, there's got to be no more pee in there. And finally, we crawled in back into bed at 3 o'clock, and we might have gone out one more time. I don't remember, but he didn't crawl under the covers until 3:16, and
Oh
then we
my
both
gosh.
went right to sleep, and we slept till 8 o'clock. Well,
Good.
I started playing music at 7, but I know I dozed after that. But yeah, he just weird, you know. But because of the music, I think. Because I'm just playing just the music. Sometimes it's a meditation, but sometimes it's just the music. It really helps both of us because he'll go, oh, we're gonna lay down and relax and get into the love, you know. I know it definitely helped to keep me calmer and not going to freak out over, oh my God, you know, what's gonna happen now? And thinking, okay, how many hours is it until the vet's office is open in case he starts vomiting? And
Yeah.
But after two times, it like I say, it took a couple hours, but then whatever was going on with his tummy, you know, it got better. Which reminds me, how is William doing?
Oh, well, I have very happy news. On Tuesday, was it yesterday? I've lost track. The scab came out at off, and it turns out there was a piece of a stitch that was poking him. When he chewed them out, there was a little piece left. So I took him in, they took it out, and he doesn't have to wear the cone. It's still red, but it's completely healed. I mean, it take a while, but
Wow.
they said, oh yeah, you don't need the cone. And so he's been so much, I think it was just yesterday, he's been so much happier.
Oh, good. Good. That's got to be a relief.
Oh my gosh, it's been what, 2 months? And the poor
Yeah.
guy, you know, he just wants to rub his face to, you know, like a napkin. He can't scratch his ears, you know. He hasn't been able to groom himself.
Yeah, bless his heart.
I
So he's
know.
free now. He has some freedom. That's great. And that's freedom for both of you.
Yeah, because it's been stressful. And Mary doesn't like it because he bashes it around and sometimes he gets hurt.
Freedom from all of you now. Yay.
That's one huge stress that's lifted.
Yeah, so if he pops up with another one of those spots, then you'll try to get him in right away to get it off.
Well, at their age, they don't like to put him under anesthesia any more often than they have to, which is why they wanted to wait until his teeth cleaning. Now, Mary has a lump that they're going to wait till then. It was supposed to be in October, and when I went in yesterday, they said, oh, by the way, the doctor's not going to be in. Can we reschedule you till December? And I was like, what am I going to do? If I want that doctor, that's what I have to do. But yeah, if I think the only reason we had to do it was it was in such a place that he was going to bother it, and I think it itched. The normal little fatty lumps don't bother them. He has had several of those removed. That's what Mary has, a little fatty lump.
Okay, well, I hope all of that goes well.
I'm sure it will. It'll be interesting if he doesn't have lumps removed and she does, because he's pretty much the last couple of years, every time they get their teeth cleaned, which is every 6 months, he's had a lump removed. This time it will be Mary.
Okay, so Reverend Carrie's coming today or tomorrow?
Yeah, now her room is ready, and the bathroom will only take another minute to put the towels out. The housekeeper came last week, so I haven't been using the guest bath, so it's clean for her.
Is it in the hallway from your office there?
Yeah, it's behind that wall. And the bedroom's on the other side of it.
Yeah. I have to remember to go in and flush the toilets of the bathrooms that I don't use because I forgot the one downstairs and the water evaporates and you have to put water back in the tank to even get it to flush. And I was like, oh
Yeah, you really
You
do need to flush them every couple of weeks.
Yeah, you don't even think about it, But one more thing to think about to do. Okay, so when you met with your therapist on Tuesday, did you guys work on forgiveness?
No, we worked on relaxing.
Okay.
It's funny. She's bringing things up to me like it's new, and it's like, well, I did that 20 years ago, but I'm not doing it now, so let's review. I guess that's what you get if you've been in therapy this long.
Well, but we forget,
And
we get.
it needs to be brought. What Michael said one time was that you just keep bringing things in front, back in front of the client, and they try to ignore it, but you just bring it back in front of them so they get over it.
Well, and sometimes specific ways of doing things works better at other, different times. So, and depending on what's happening in our lives, when it comes to forgiveness, sometimes I think we can look at it as maybe from a little bit different perspective of just, we want to relieve the emotional charge that we feel. And it's overcoming the emotion. It's transforming the emotion that we're feeling of being a victim of pain and suffering at the hands of somebody else. There's so many little intricacies of it that we can look at, all those little wheels and that t twist and turn that make an unforgiveness. And sometimes, we get it lodged in our head that if we forgive them, then it's okay, whatever it was they did, which that's never the case, but we get programmed. So if we can look at it and we don't, people don't want to, they don't want to say it's okay that somebody did something, and it's because it's not. But to be able to look at it from a perspective of healing the pain within us, everybody wants to do that. We don't want to
Yeah,
carry
and
the pain
she said
around.
it's somatic healing that is what is left after the intellectual stuff.
She said, I'm sorry, you were
It's somatic healing.
somatic healing.
The body. And she said, and when I'm doing the relax my belly and be deep breaths, that's somatic work. And so
Okay.
it's like she said, you can come up with all these excuses and reasons why somebody did something, but the damage still happened, and that's what you need to address.
Exactly. And when you're doing that, you're rewriting that neural pathway of belief. You're creating a new charge, a new connection in our brains that overrides that old stuff so that we can move forward. And how do you feel like you're doing with that?
Well, I think every time I catch myself being tense and soften my belly and breathe, I think that's progress.
And being able to catch yourself,
Yeah, and
that's the biggest thing.
I'm doing so much better with that.
The journaling, I know the journaling is there's not a lot of time during the day, but what the journaling can do, if you can fit it in, like with and you have one of the empowerment journals, it's that commitment to the self to remember to do, to be in the gratitude, to be aware of how we're feeling. And when we sign that page at the end of the page, it's signing that contract with the universe and with ourselves that locks it's creating that neural pathway of a new habit, of a new program. So if you can, even if you don't get a chance to write it down, if once we've done it enough, we can start seeing those things in our mind's eye and moving into that energy and being aware of, okay, well, I'm claiming this day as a perfect day. And then you feel you can recognize whether you have resistance on that, you know, and deciding on what you want your day to look like, you know, how much love do I want to broadcast out, which puts it into a whole new perspective of what the day's going to be.
Well, come say hi. You have not been in my lap in weeks. Well, come say hi. Come say hi. Oh, yes. You haven't been able to be up in
Oh
my lap.
my goodness, it's William.
Oh,
Hey,
sweetheart.
baby.
Oh. Oh, I missed
Where
this.
you going?
I
I think
missed
Maggie's asleep. Maggie's wiped out. He had a rough night.
Didn't get much sleep last night, huh?
But you know, they are almost the same color. Magic and William and Mary.
Yeah, he's kind of a taupe. She's a white, but then she has some areas that are kind of tan. But yeah, they when they're out in the sun, they kind of look like white dogs. And Magic's pure white, isn't he?
No, he's got he's got little taupe hairs that are kind of wiry, which is weird. He's got
Oh.
the furry coat, and then he's got these little tan taupey colored hairs too, that depending on how dirty he is, you know, as to how white he looks. But no, he's actually not white.
Wow.
He's kind of a cream, you know, creamy taupe. So that's why. But so when I see William on screen, because the colors aren't always good, you know, he looks the same color as Magic.
Maybe they are closer than I realized.
Yeah.
Maybe so, sweetheart. Oh, I so like to be able to scratch those ears. Oh, I so like to be able to scratch those ears. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, actually, I have a little journal planner. It's called a well-being planner,
Oh.
that you print out each month. And this is the third month I've printed it, and now I don't even know what I've done with it. But it has a place for gratitude. It has a place for intentions. It has a place for a lot of the same things that are in yours. And it's full. That was one of the things that I liked about it. But I have been intermittent about using it at best. But it lives here, so and I could try the breakfast table again because that is a good place and time to do your journal.
Oh wow. You know, I've been thinking about that myself. My breakfast table is behind me. But lately, Magic's sitting in the floor looking at me crying. And I don't know why he does that. Usually he's because there's a bed over there, he'll sit and lay in the bed with a toy and give it a bath while I'm eating breakfast. I've been trying to get to my desk earlier, you know, figuring out how to make that happen. Maybe that might work. But anyway. Okay, so overall, you're feeling pretty good about everything that you're being able to accomplish, and when things are coming up with the church, even how are you being able to manage those feelings of you know, having to be in the middle of some things and delegation and those responsibilities? How are you feeling with all those?
Not as serene as I would like. I kind of run away from it and put it off, and that's not the best way to deal with it. I've been so overwhelmed with William and everything else going on that I haven't been proactive. I've been reactive. And the desk has, I don't know if the desk is a symptom or a cause or both. But like putting off the agenda till today. And I'm doing the talk next week and I haven't done anything to start it. So that's another, if I were nibbling away at it, it would seem less daunting.
Were you able to complete your list on what you do for the church?
I just keep putting more things on as I think of them.
And are you starting to highlight the things that you can delegate to others?
Well, I'm aware of a few. So, there are a couple of them that I thought I had delegated, but then they came back to me, and I think that's one of the things we need to talk about. Maybe not in the board meeting, but in the workshop is let's spread the wealth a little bit,
So if you
particularly
have,
the mailing list.
when will that happen?
Saturday.
The workshop
Saturday.
this Saturday?
Yeah, it's an
Okay.
all-day thing. We'll have the board meeting and then a workshop the rest of the day.
Okay.
And that's one thing about Reverend Carey coming in tonight. We can do some strategizing. And
Oh, that'd be great.
the planning meeting for church is tomorrow at 10, so we'll have a chance to, make a few decisions before then.
And then when you meet for the workshop on Saturday, everyone will be there. So that would be a good time to start delegating things and have people taking those things over. Oh, wow, that would be great.
Yeah.
That would really be great. What have you thought any more about looking at the calendar and when you could have a weekend for yourself to go to one of your retreat areas, whether it's to your cousins or that other
Well, I've got
place?
a Manuka retreat coming up in 3 weeks.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And then
Okay.
the week after that, we go up to Bellingham for the workshop, the Northwest Region workshop. And then I won't have a lot of big responsibilities, I think, for just the routine stuff. There's nothing else scheduled for the next several months. So my cousin and I talked about my coming down maybe October.
Oh, great. Great. Okay.
I see
Okay.
that magic. I see that magic.
Yeah. You know that they are such a huge part of our lives. Jesse called me this morning and they had a balloon lift off at Landon's school this morning before school started, because it's Colorado Springs does that every year, which is so much fun. I used to take Jesse.
Hot air balloons, right?
Yeah. And then they d on at night they'll do balloon glows where they light them up. They don't take them off, but they'll light them up, you know. But she took him to the school so he could see it, and it was muddy. And of course he was running and there was a mud puddle. And he ended up having to go home to change before he could go to school. And then she had a call that she had to be on, and she had to finish the call before, a work call before she could take him back to school. And so he was late getting to school, but when she got there, they were just getting ready to do a shooter, live shooter lockdown drill. I was a little surprised she was even able to leave him, but he needs to know. And I said, "You were probably thinking about homeschooling about then." And she said, "Why don't you come out here and do it?" There's a thought. Not today, but it's something to think about. But he still needs that interaction with other children, you know. He
Yeah.
loves school. I don't think he would like being homeschooled.
I can't believe that it's a good option. My niece homeschooled their girls most of the way through because they're extremely bright, and she knew that the little Southern Illinois town didn't have much intellectual stimulation, but and she had them do church activities and like Catherine took one class in high school, for coding, I think, and then they both went to the STEM boarding school for their last 3 years of high school. But I, yeah,
How did STEM work out for them?
oh, they loved it.
And it was their last 3 years of high school.
Yeah, and they're both in college now.
Jesse did STEM in sixth grade. And it was the very first year they had done STEM. And they worked those kids to death. I mean, it was hours of homework every day, but she loved it. And then seventh grade, she was still in the STEM, but they didn't load them down as bad because they learned that was too much. And then when we moved to Denver, she was in regular school. It wasn't STEM. And then it was really hard because STEM didn't teach them sixth and seventh grade stuff that the other kids had. So she had to catch up, which she was able to do. And then she took the high school, the college courses in high school. I don't remember what they were called. But it's a shame they can't put the two together more.
Well, I think the STEM school that they went to was pretty was pretty broad because like the younger one was in theater and she really enjoyed that. So I think they didn't ignore the liberal arts and everything else. I think they just had higher quality STEM classes than the regular schools did.
Well, everything's
But
going to
so the
be
older
fine.
one is a senior and the youngest one is a freshman. They went to the same school.
Okay. Lot to think about. Yeah. I'm staying here for now anyway.
I think it's where you need to be, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it really is. And I'll definitely be here at least till March of next year. But yeah, I think so.
What's
Unless
going on
some
in March that you?
my lease is up.
Oh, okay.
Lease, 'cause I'm leasing. I can't imagine being anywhere else right now, this is the perfect little bubble for me. It's really perfect.
It is. It's amazing. Oh, I meant to say what I have loved that Sterling keeps talking about animals being of the angelic realm. That just I kept saying that they were angels in dog suits and now they're not angels, but they're of the angelic realm. So
Sentient beings, and that they have their own angels. I don't know if he's mentioned that or not, but I believe they have their own angels too. It's like which kind of surprised me, that marmot was doing things he shouldn't be doing here. And Jesse said, and I told her that the landlord's going to get somebody to trap him and move him. And she said, well, why don't you have your people talk to his people? She always called them that, my angels and guy, my people. Why don't you have your people talk to his people? And I was like, duh. Yeah, why don't I do that? So I started doing that. And so far they've just been catching possums in the trap. And I don't know why I didn't just let them go, but he was rehoming them. So anyway. But what was interesting last night when we were going out in the rain, I had to stand out there in the rain with him. I wasn't able to stand under the porch thing because he needed to go out a little further. And never being anxious. And we didn't even start going out until, 12:30 in the morning. And then it was, till it was 2.5 hours later, we're still going out. I don't know, maybe I was so tired that it at that point, if anybody tried to interfere with what I was doing, they would be taking their life in their own hands. I don't know. But yeah. I think there's a lot going to be happening in the next, well, throughout the end of the year, a lot of things. Not just politically, but and worldwide, but individually too. I mean, just like with the things that are happening with the church, it's not surprising that there's been conflict between the ladies with personality and beliefs of what they're responsible for, because any little bit of angst that we're feeling, it's got to go.
Yeah.
And if we're not observing it, then the universe is going to do something to make us look at it so that we can process through that energy. Just like, the typical definition of unforgiveness that we're holding on to, same kind of thing. We can't take that into our future. Anything we're holding in suffering and pain, we've got to heal that. We can't take it with us. It's not, there's no room for it in the future that we want to live. I mean, we don't want to keep living what we were, pre-pandemic and between 9/11 and the pandemic, and then those years of the pandemic and that feeling of being trapped and unsure. On the one hand, all of that reinforced the unknown being a scary place, where the unknown is where everything is possible. So we have to rewrite that programming of feeling and emotion. And it's so vital that we do that, to be excited about, I don't know what's going to happen. So I get to choose. Well, what do I want? So overcoming those feelings of being scared of what could happen, it's, wow, I get to choose. I really get to choose this time, and writing that new story of possibility. And not feeling anxious. I totally get the whole paperwork everywhere, because it starts to feel like stagnant energy, and it is. So the more that, if we can't get to the cleaning of the paperwork, we can ask Archangel Michael to come in and suck out all that stagnant energy. And sucking out that stagnant energy will also help to release the energy that we're feeling, so that then it's like, oh wow, I've got an hour. I've got a whole hour. I can clean this up right now. What I've come to realize is that anytime we're in stress, we're at a level of survival mode. And our human bodies cannot, will not support that. And, being able to look back at our day, and even if we were working on things that we didn't normally, we wouldn't like to do, feeling that accomplishment of having gotten it done, and I'm free of that now. And, even, okay, I didn't get it done, it's still there, but I'm going to hang on to, I'm free of it now. Moving into that, beyond that analytical mind of, yeah, but it's still there. Yeah, okay, not a problem. But I can feel this. And then the more we anchor and feel that bliss of it's all complete and it's cleaned up, the universe responds, and then we have that hour to take care of it, or something gets resolved, and then the problem's just gone.
Rachel keeps telling me that Archangel Michael has shown her swords and a big shield for me to deflect the negativity, and I just don't remember, to use that.
Here's a thought. I have, oh, here's one right here. I got some of these. And I write on them and use them as that, and a pen as the marker as to where I am in my journal every day. So when I open it up, I've written on that paper something that's not on in the journal that I want to do. And I hold it to my heart, and I focus on that state of being. So you could draw swords, or you've got all that, all this art stuff. You probably have a sword. You can sword and a shield that you can put on the card, or use one of your own cards and put it in there and hold it to your heart and move into that feeling of him being so, completely surrounding you. Or just put the card by your, if you're not journaling, I'd love it if you did, but if you're not, put that by your breakfast, on your placemat. And have another one next to your toothbrush before you go to bed.
Actually, having it on the mirror in the bathroom is a good idea. I just need to move the things that are there around every now and then. But yeah, I could print out a awesome picture of Archangel Michael with a big shield and sword. Because there's a bunch in art.
That'd be awesome. And then you can get move into that feeling of him being with you and ask him to help you feel that throughout the day. And the thing is, Gail, that when you move into that kind of energy, that loving support, and you feel it throughout your body, the body starts to rewrite the unforgiveness stuff. It starts to, next thing you know, you're going in and you're talking to your therapist, and she's saying, wow, all that, those body language things are gone. Your physical therapist saying, oh, wow, what'd you do? It's all gone. And you didn't have to go back and relive the things from the past because you were holding such a high energy. It was naturally rewriting those pathways. And then when you think about it, or when something happens that triggers you, you don't have that tightness in your body like you had before. You're just observing it as an experience, and the brain is able to then start looking at solutions because we don't go into a higher state of survival mode like we did before. We don't feel the stress, we don't feel the overwhelm, we don't feel the pressure. Personally for me, it was hard to accept that feelings of stress are survival mode. It's not just an adrenaline rush. It's not something big. It's not something that ignites that adrenaline rush in our body. It can just be feeling pressured to get something done, or I didn't get that done. I don't feel an adrenaline rush, but I'm feeling stressed about it. Okay, now I'm in fight or flight survival mode. So which means I can't think greater than this. Which is a good time to use that 4.5 minute meditation. First use the chaos flush, and then the 4.5 minute meditation.
I'm noticing the note about chaos flush more.
Awesome. And are you at a, when you see it, are you in need of it?
I'm just kind of using it as a to remind myself that it's there. Because usually when I see it, there's something going on that I don't know if stressed is the right word, but I can always use it.
What is
Oh,
surprising?
this is the little thing with the self-care
Oh, okay.
journal. Yeah. It was right here. I'm
Anytime,
sorry.
oh no, that's fine. And anytime that we get anxiety, we're feeling stress. Stress and anxiety are our best buds. So if we're feeling anxiety or resistance in our body, that's a stress. That's a stressor. That's our sign that, okay, wait a minute, something's got to change. But becoming aware of that resistance in our body is, that's a leap because it's the normal way of being. So we've got to start recognizing it as something that's, we don't want to be there. And you've come so far in being able to recognize, okay, this is not how I want to feel. And then you're able to take the action steps, the breathing, the grounding, the chaos flush. the consciously choosing, this is not how I want to feel, and moving into another state. And that's huge. You've done so well.
And I appreciate being reminded of that because that perfectionism is like, well, it doesn't matter. There's still more to do.
Oh,
I'm not
wow.
perfect yet.
Jeez, you know, I don't know that I ever think that. Maybe.
That's pretty
But I know
strong.
I used to, but you know, I shut those words off. And you have to tell them to shut up. I do. I have gotten good at that. When the thoughts come in of that are destructive and toxic, I don't stomp my foot and yell stop anymore. But I used to. I sure used to. But making that stop and then consciously choosing to be a higher vibration, to move into gratitude, to take those deep breaths and ground and just be in the stillness for just a moment. The more we do that, a moment's all we need. And then we're a whole different state of being, and the universe responds. So, yeah, you've done so well. So well. So pat yourself on the back. Celebrate that. Gosh, when we first started talking and everything was so stressful with the church and you know before you sold it and I mean this is a whole different world. And now you're ready to write a whole new book, not a, just a chapter, but a whole new book on who you want to be, how you want to feel every day, and throughout the whole day. Not just for an hour when you're focusing on it, but making that focus, it becomes the lifestyle. The bliss of peace. And you know, life is messy, so there's always going to be clutter. There's always going to be clutter. You know, that's how we live now. But does the seeing the clutter, does that influence how I'm going to feel? Or am I going to look beyond that to the joy of just living my life?
Yeah, I've kind of become inured to the clutter, but I think it's still a drain.
You know, there's a difference between accepting what is and ignoring the pain of having something be something you don't like. They're two different things. And if you absolutely had to, you could just take a trash can and fill it. I mean, do you need some that stuff? Yeah, you're not going to do that, but you could. And then all of that would be gone.
And I'm seriously thinking about a lot of this stuff is really not serving me anymore. You know, I loved it for a while, but it's clutter now.
And that's when it has to go. If it doesn't make you feel warm and fuzzy in your heart, it should go live somewhere else. And maybe you just take one corner, one pile. Or maybe you take all the piles and make one pile. I was surprised. I worked on this bookcase the other day, and I just got a trash can, and you know I had business stuff in there, and it was like I have not looked at this since I've lived here. Obviously, I don't need it, and I just threw it away. You know, the things that were a priority when I moved here, they're really not such a priority anymore. Life has changed, and life is changing for you.
Yeah. And I really want to make this decade a new phase, like you said, a new book, not just a new chapter, but a new book.
Yeah.
And I had lost track sight of that.
And when you're sitting there, even at your desk, and you've got your eyes closed, and you're thinking about envisioning what the top of your desk really does look like. You know, no dust, no papers, no pens, no nothing on it. And feeling that freedom and that joy and that release and being able to just move forward with anything you want because everything you need is exactly where it has a home and you can reach out and grab it. And you're sitting there with your eyes closed and you're visioning all that and you're feeling that freedom and you can breathe and your body is in all those emotions of this is a reality. This is your reality. And the more you can hold that energy when you open your eyes and the clutter's still there, being able to say, this is just temporary. When Fred and I moved into the house that we bought together, well, it was my house. Anyway, everything went into the garage, the two-car garage, and then it went into the house. And so we couldn't park the cars in the garage for a bit. And that was the one thing I kept saying because it was wanting to push me over the edge into screaming and throwing stuff out. I would walk in the garage and I'd see that and I go, this is just temporary. And release all that aggravation. And then it was just temporary. Then the cars were parked in there. But it's so easy to get caught up in the analytical 3D mind because this is what I see. But Florence held that space for her students to see beyond that, to think beyond that, to be beyond that. Like the guy who went to the bank and they were going to close in 10 minutes and he walks in and says, I came for the loan and they gave it to him. Because he had visioned all of that and she helped him hold that space. And you're moving into, and even Reverend Carrie, you attracted her to help and she actually stays there with you and you have that energy and that bond and that support. The gifts are everywhere and the help is everywhere. Okay, was there anything, gosh, I didn't even ask you, was there anything that's come up that you wanted to talk about or anything that's bothering you or weighing on you?
I think we pretty much hit it.